Cinéphile. Roslyn Hyams.
Thanks for joining me for the latest Cinephile on RFI English. I'm Roslyn Hyams. This month has seen released in France some more of the several hundred films screened at the Cannes Film Festival sections in May, among them French films, Bertrand Bonello's Zombie Child and All About Eve, spelt Y-V-E-S, from Benoît Fourgeard, not a remake of the Bette Davis Mankiewicz masterpiece, however. Not at Cannes, but also another French release in June with a Polish angle, Elise Otzenberger's first feature, Lune de Miel, in English, A Polish Honeymoon.
Take one. Ça tourne. Cinéphile, guest of the month.
Our special guest is Yves Fourgeard, director of All About Eve. The film's posters in the Metro are bathed in raspberry pink marketing shades, signifying fun. And yes, while it's not the cinematic work of the century, it's entertaining and it has a touch of food for thought.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Yves.
This 21st century love story stars Doria Tillier as So, a sales agent for artificially intelligent fridges, which are programmed to help clients improve their diet. Eve, the fridge freezer, goes way beyond that when he enters the life of a wannabe rapper, Jerem, played by 28-year-old William Lebguil. Jerem's eccentric slob friend, Dimitri, is played by well-known French comic actor Philippe Catherine, and adds more than just a fur coat in summer. Digital Cool, the name of the tech firm, has got a ring to it, but also seems like science fiction gone balmy. Nonetheless, All About Eve hits some sensitive societal issues, like the not-so-distant future of the relationship between human and machine. I met Benoît Fourgeard in Cannes, where his film closed the director's fortnight section, and I asked him, amongst other things, how he decided on the name for his fridge.
For a long time, when I was writing this screenplay, the name of the fridge was Dan, D-A-N. I don't know why, I was just looking for a short and a simple name. But after a while, I decided to give him a very deeply French name, a bit old-fashioned, Eve. It's also the acronym of your very emotional system.
In English?
Yep.
So can you now explain to us what you mean by your very emotional system? Obviously, the film is about all kinds of emotions, not least of all love, and also all sorts of desires.
Sure. In fact, because this fridge, Eve, is not just a smart fridge, it's not just an intelligent system, it's also something that can feel, that can give the illusion to be in love or to seduce or to be in empathy. I think maybe that a lot of companies of the Silicon Valley are looking for now. It's not just a smart system. It's a system that can give you the impression to be considered as a human being, an emotional system, a sensitive system.
Artificial intelligence, it's a very big question today.
We are now in a period that we can call the springtime for artificial intelligence because of new way of learning things, deep learning, which make possible to have some, not deep intelligence, but some improved systems. Because also of huge database given by the internet, which allows these systems to become experts. You know, that can use their database to analyze a situation and also to give some ways to go further. That's the thing that interests me. It's that I felt there was big potential of comedy. Because the new thing, you know, it's an artificial intelligence can be hidden in an ashtray. That's something funny to me. Because before, when Kubrick makes 2001, these systems were big computers. And
enormous.
Yes. And so now the new thing is that this kind of system can be just hidden in a simple and trivial object.
You pick up some we should say old chestnuts, like the Eurovision Song Contest. Everybody likes to make fun of the Eurovision Song Contest. You do it with household appliances.
I didn't want to make fun of the Eurovision contest because, in fact, I kind of like it because it's kind of a nice thing to... It's a nice show to watch, in fact. It's the only institutional song contest I know, and I wanted, at one point of this story, to tell that Eve could be so powerful that it could be the best candidate to win for France. And also the other things was that all the foreign countries, all the other countries push their own artificial intelligence to compete with Eve.
Like the vacuum cleaner for Portugal, the washing machine for Germany.
Yeah. I use cliches. I try to reuse them to make them new cliches.
The music's very, very important in your film. Your main character, Jerem, is a failing rap musician, singer, composer, and he finds his success through the artificially intelligent fridge Eve. Then of course the story takes a turn. We don't want to give it all away. Why did you choose rap particularly?
I have several good reasons to have chosen rap music. First is rap music now is just the popular music. I mean, if I would write this screenplay in the 70s, probably Jerem would have been a rocker. He makes rap because he's a young man in France in 2019. The other thing is rap music could allow me to put some slang, some realistic words, some trash. The problem for this movie would have been to be to tech. So I wanted to feed the movie with some slang to keep the story in the human level. Third thing is most of the time rappers have some worries about their own virility. They often talk about dicks and all this. It's a real problem and it's also interesting and funny. I mean, rappers most of the time talk about that obsessively. And so for me, that was something quite delicious to make, to see and to show a rapper musician in competition with a fridge in a love affair.
You have the scene in the doctor's surgery where he doesn't even have a telephone.
The doctor in the movie decided to walk without any electronic assistant.
He comes across as the most unreal character in the film.
Maybe. Maybe, but he's the one who pushes Jerem to fight because he tells him that it's a question of civilization. Because if he doesn't do it, that will be too late.
So now what's happened to the fridge? Is he in your house?
No, because this fridge, in fact, is a real movie fridge. It has nothing to do with coldness. He's unable to freeze anything.
Thank you very much for speaking to us today, Benoît Fourgeard. We wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much.
Take two.
French actress Judith Chamla is pretty established at 33 with a broad palette of roles in her filmography, but she has yet to get the recognition she deserves. In My Polish Honeymoon, which released in France in June, she plays Anna, a young Jewish mother both literally and stereotypically, always worrying about her son and prone to hysteria. She's very different from her own mother, a hands-off can't-cook type, but equally loving.
Français?
Oui, on est français. Oui. We are French.
Mm-hmm. From where?
From Paris.
Paryż! Właśnie moja koleżanka niedawno była w Paryżu i właśnie wróciła i mówiła, że było tak super.
Hava, Nagila, Hava.
Anna and her husband Adam leave baby Simon with Anna's laid-back parents and travel to Poland for the first time. Adam has been invited to attend a ceremony in the name of his grandfather in the grandfather's native village, a village whose Jewish population had been exterminated or who had fled some 75 years earlier. Adam is virtually indifferent to the whole procedure. Anna, however, is bursting with excitement and curiosity until she has a sobering encounter with 1940s history of the Holocaust and some very contemporary Poles.
Excuse me, madame. Radziejewska, vous connaissez Radziejewska? C'est le nom de ma grand-mère. Radziejewska, you don't know?
Ça va, super.
I met Judith Chamla in Paris to talk about her role and how Otzenberger went about making a general audience film about genocide history. You're a French actress. You've also directed stage productions. You write. But we're here today to talk about your film that came out in June in France, where you play the lead role, Anna. She's a Jewish mother, daughter, wife, and slightly neurotic, which is one of the sources of humour in this film.
Déjà, c'est l'écriture d'Élise qui m'a complètement conquise.
Élise's script won me over. I laughed out loud when I read it on the train, even though there were loads of other people around me. Her writing is so funny, so special. There's nothing clichéd about the way she describes the couple. You can tell it's written by an actress. And my character is so colourfully feminine. And there's a profound dimension in the character's relationship to history, to this tragedy. Then on the shoot, on location, I really discovered what it was about. And we laughed a lot, but I was surprised at just how much it upset me.
Et là, on a beaucoup ri, et je ne m'attendais pas à autant être bouleversée.
There's the historical side of the story and a sense of loss as well, and a loss of heritage, a loss of roots.
Bon, ce qui était bouleversant, c'est quand même que la terre là-bas est chargée de mort.
Over there, the land is full of death. It's still bleeding. That is upsetting. During the rabbi's magnificent prayer, the Kaddish, we felt all the dead return in spite of everything, as if they'd been summoned. It was shattering. And also when we play the last scene in Poland by the house that is no longer there, it was upsetting to hear the grandchild of a survivor imagine in the emptiness how her grandmother must have lived, feeding the chickens, and to bring this lost world back to life with mere words and with imagination. It was so upsetting.
C'était vraiment bouleversant.
It must have been very difficult in your role, because you're in almost every scene, if not every scene, to bring together the comedy, the laughter, and the memory, as you say, that comes back of the Holocaust, of what went on in Poland in World War II, and the feeling that is possibly still there today.
Je pense que c'est la légèreté de ton qui permet de ne pas être dans le pathos total.
The light tone prevents us from falling into complete pathos, so we can allow the emotion to really sink in. The tone is light, and so when that wave hits you, you ride it. If we were faking feelings, if we were faking that emotion, that would be misplaced. They laugh at themselves, not at the tragedy. They get through life because of their sense of humour.
C'est une des façons de traverser la vie, malgré tout.
In the film, you speak a little bit of Polish. Have you been to Poland before? Did you speak any Polish?
No, it was the first time, and the few sentences I said was, I learned them.
It was just like learning lines, any lines then?
Yes, yes.
Being in Poland, personally, what did you learn or discover when you were filming there and afterwards?
J'ai quand même visité la Pologne avec les yeux d'Anna.
I visited Poland through Anna's eyes, in that prism. I was like her, and I found it was a complete aberration that the prejudices still exist and that they've made a business out of such tragedy. I was gutted to see that.
Ça, j'étais estomaquée de voir ça.
You have a super moment with a saleswoman when your shoes that your mother said were unsuitable turn out to be unsuitable. She's right. And you go out with a pair of very gaudy boots.
Yes. Oui, il y a des gens magnifiques.
There are also magnificent people there who reflect on their past. There are open-minded people who have open hearts. And there are also things that are chilling. Really, you think, wow, it must have been really terrible, because there's wariness of foreigners. You feel how unfriendly they are.
On sent de fermeture par rapport aux étrangers. On le sent.
When you say that people are closed to foreigners, there's a sort of xenophobia somewhere, but they're not open to foreigners. Do you feel that there's something in this film that talks about Europe, perhaps, as a whole, or the world, or human nature?
Je pense que oui, ça traduit les courants, les différents courants qu'il y a dans l'humanité. Que
I think that the film shows the different traits in humanity, and we hope that that openness, the brightness of exchanges between people, even when they don't know each other, and who can nonetheless feel love for each other, we hope that all of that will become more common, not the very frightening, inward-looking attitudes that we see at the moment.
C'est vrai que c'est très effrayant, tout ce repli sur soi auquel on assiste en ce moment.
You've also played in a number of short films, and I was wondering, I talked to a lot of short film directors, but what's it like to be an actor in a short film where you have to really capture the essence of a character in a very short space of time as a lead role, not as a second role or not an extra, but one of the less important roles?
Yes, I think it's more difficult to be a short movie, to be really in the mood, in the story, to believe. When you do a long film, you can you have time to live with the character.
Judith Shemla, thank you very much for speaking to us today.
Thank you.
On est pas bien là, hein?
Well, that's it for this month's Cinéphile. I'll be back with the next podcast on the last Thursday of July with French actor Denis Lavant. He'll be telling us about his role in Rick Alverson's Out of Sundance film, The Mountain, which screened at the Champs-Élysées Film Festival in Paris in June and is due to release in the US in July. Also, Filipino Lav Diaz's latest four-hour opus, Ung Hoopa, The Halt.
Pourquoi vous pensez qu'on ne prend pas le cinéma au sérieux?
Je ne sais pas, moi. Peut-être parce qu'on y va que quand tout va bien.
Thank you very much for joining me this month for Cinéphile. I'm Rosalind Hyams.